November 29, 1926. How the supreme will, from queen, becomes the servant of the human will, because they do not let it reign. Continuing in my usual abandonment in the adorable will, all of creation made itself present, in which the supreme will was flowing, dominating and triumphant, as light and primary life, in the great things as much as in the most little ones. What enchantment, what order, what rare beauty, what harmony among them, because one is the will which dominates them and, flowing in them, binds them in such a way that one cannot be without the other. And my sweet Jesus, interrupting my amazement, told me, "My daughter, my will remained as operating life in each created thing, in order to dominate freely with its full triumph. So, it has the operating life of the light and heat of the sun, the operating life of its immensity and of the multiplicity of its works in the heavens, the operating life of its power and of its justice in the sea. In fact, my will is not like the will of the creatures who, even if they want, if they have no hands, they cannot work. If they have no feet, they cannot walk. If they are mute or blind, they can neither speak nor see. My will, instead, does all acts in one single act. While it works, it walks. While it is all eyes to look, at the same time, it is all voice to speak, and with such eloquence, that no one can equal it. It speaks in the roaring of the thunder, in the bolt of lightning, in the whistling of the wind, in the tumultuous waves of the sea, in the little bird that sings. It speaks everywhere, so that everyone may hear its voice, now strong, now sweet, now thundering. My will, how admirable you are! Who can say he has loved the creatures as you have? My very humanity, oh! How it remains behind you! I remain eclipsed in you, and you remain in your work, which is no beginning, nor does it ever end. You are always at your place, giving life to all created things in order to bring your life to creatures. Oh! If all knew what it does for them, how much it loves all, how its vital breath gives life to all, oh! How they would love it, and all would be pressing around my eternal fiat, to receive the life it wants to give them. But do you know, my daughter, why my supreme volition left itself in all created things, dominating in his life, and in each thing, doing its distinct office? Because it was to serve itself, its own will, which was to have life and dominion in the creature, for whom it had created all things. It acted like a king who, wanting to form a residence for himself in which to reign and have his dwelling, forms many rooms and places many lights, so that darkness may not reign in it. He puts little fountains of most fresh waters. He puts music for amusement. He has his residence surrounded by pleasant gardens. In sum, he places everything that can make him happy, and that is worthy of his royalty. Now, as king, he must have his servants, his ministers, his soldiers. And what happens? These deny the king. So, instead of the king being the one who dominates, the servants, the ministers, the soldiers dominate. What would not be the sorrow of this king in seeing that his works do not serve him, but with injustice, they serve his servants? And he himself is forced to be the servant of his servants, because when a service, a work, serves oneself, one cannot be called servant. Now, my will was to serve itself in the creatures, and therefore, more than nobile queen, it left itself in all created things, so that nothing might be lacking to its royalty of queen in the creature. There was no one else who could serve my will worthily, other than my will itself. Nor would it have adapted itself to being served by servants, because no one would have its noble and divine manners in order to serve it. Now, listen to the great sorrow of my supreme will. It is right that you, who are its daughter, know the sorrows of your mother, of your queen, and of the one who is your life. In the creation it acts as servant of the servants. It serves the human will, because mine does not reign in the creatures. How hard it is to serve the servants, and for many centuries. As the soul withdraws from my will to do her own, she puts my will and servitude in the creation. Therefore its sorrow is great, from queen, becoming a servant, and there is no one who can soothe a sorrow so bitter. If it continues to remain in the creation to serve the servants, it is because it is waiting for its children. It is waiting for the time when its works will serve the children of its eternal fiat who, letting it reign and dominate in their souls, will let it serve its own nobility. Oh! Only these children will soothe the sorrow so long and bitter. They will dry its tears of so many centuries of servitude. They will give back to it the rights of its royalty. This is why it is so necessary to make my will known, what it does, what it wants, how it is everything and contains all goods, and its continuous sorrow because they do not let it reign. After this, my mind remained so affected by the sorrow of the Supreme Will that, as the whole creation kept standing before my mind, to my highest sorrow I could see this noble queen veiled in each created thing, serving all creatures. It acted as servant in the sun, serving them by giving them light and heat. It acted as servant in the water, by offering it to their lips to quench their thirst. It acted as servant in the sea, offering them the fish. It acted as servant in the earth, by giving them fruits, foods of every kind, flowers and many other things. In sum, I could see it in all things, veiled with sadness, because it was not decorous for it to serve the creatures. On the contrary, it was unbefitting its nobility of queen to act as servant of ungrateful and perverted creatures, who used its servitude without even looking at it, without saying a thank you, or contributing with any retribution as it is usually done with servants. Who can tell what I understood about this sorrow of the eternal fiat, so long and intense? But while I was swimming in this sorrow, my adored Jesus came out from within my interior, and pressing me to himself, all tenderness, told me, "My daughter, it is very sorrowful and humiliating for my supreme will to act as servant of the creatures who do not let it reign within them. But it will feel much more glorified and happy in those who will let it reign. Look at it within you, how happy it is to serve you. It reigns in you while you write, and it feels honored and happy to serve you, by guiding your hand as you write, that you may write on paper the words to make it known. It places its sanctity at your service in your mind, in order to administer to you the ideas, the terms, the most tender examples that regard my supreme will, in order to open its ways in the midst of creatures, to form its kingdom. It serves your sight to let you look at what you write, your mouth to feed you the words, your heart to let it palpitate with its own volition. What difference? It is happy to serve you, because it serves itself, it serves to form its life. It serves the knowledge of itself, its own sanctity. It serves to form its kingdom. My will reigns in you while you pray, and it serves you by letting you fly within it, to let you do its acts, and to let you take possession of its goods. This way of serving of my will is glorious, is triumphant, is dominant. And it would suffer only if the soul did not let herself be served by it completely and in everything.